Well, once again, good morning. We're going to continue our studies in the book of Ruth, but before you turn to there, I'd like you to turn to Psalms 65, please. We just sang the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word." His word is good, is it? Is it not? The song right next to it is "Trust and Obey." That would go right along with what we're about to look at this morning in our scriptures. Oh, how much I wished the Lord would give me more strength to obey better. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. If I were to put a title to our first study, and I'm just going to briefly cover a couple of points that we went over. There were three parts to it. The first one was, "Now it came to pass." The second one was, "In the days of judges, when the judges ruled." And the second one was, and the third one was, "There was a famine in the land." All three of those points were brought out to show that our Lord is Lord of all. The Lord of Scripture, Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, sits on His throne, ruling over everything. Your will is not stronger than God's. If God purposed it, it will be. It shall come to pass. And God's people, when He reveals Himself to them, understand that they don't need another king. Our King sits on His throne in heaven right now. That's what the days of judges was all about. When they did cry out for a king, God gave them one. One that was very cruel, very wicked. And then we looked at, of course, our God is not just a God of creation. He's a God of everything. The waters, the winds, famines upon the land. His purpose shall be done. This morning, I want to look at a subject, and I will call it the Father's house. Are you with me in Psalm 65? Look at verse 4. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Our God is so wonderful. He consistently shows us His working, He is working things out. At our Friday night Bible study 2 weeks ago, we looked at an article, as Pastor Gene normally does, closing with an article from Pastor Don Fortner. And in that article was these very words. Now, I remember that I was supposed to be giving this Bible study last week, but the Lord had other plans, and so things didn't quite work out right. So, I was sitting there, and we were reading that final article, and I saw that, and I was thinking to myself, well, this is perfect. Because this is what this next part of our story in Ruth is all about. It's all about this family who left the house of God for the house of the world, for the land of Moab. John Gill wrote this about what we just read: "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house." And he writes, even all that are like this man, chosen by grace, by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, brought into the house of God, and have a place and a name there, better than that of the sons and daughters of men, by the house of God, we are to understand the church of God. Amen. And by the goodness of it, meaning the provisions of grace that are in the word, the ordinances and the blessings of grace held forth in them, and especially Christ, the bread of life, whose flesh is meat indeed, and whose blood is drink indeed, of which true believers may eat and do to full satisfaction. And blessed are they that have such food and appetites for it and are filled with it. End of quote. We're talking about the house of God. This is a story, this story of Ruth. It begins by telling us about this family who left the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. That's what it means. They left the place where God was worshipped and they went into the house of the Antichrist. Are you with me in Ruth? Look at the last half of verse 1, which is where we left off. And it says, "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Now, we don't know a lot about Elimelech. I have to look at that word every time I go to pronounce it, because I want to pronounce it wrong for some reason. But we don't know a lot about him. Scripture doesn't talk a lot about him, except for that he was married and that he had two sons and that he lived in the land of the town of Bethlehem, Judah, and that he left there and he went to Moab because of the famine. And I'm going to leave the comments about this man and why he did what he did to those who are more qualified than I to make. But I do know this. We know this. We who are God's people know and love to hear the gospel truths over and over and over again. Amen. For it is only in those truths that we have peace and assurance of our salvation. Yes. I love to hear about the fact that it has nothing to do with my will. I love to hear that it has all to do with His will. Because if it was left to my will, I see myself as for who I am now, a sinner, condemned unclean. Yet God, by His will, did not choose to leave me that way. He came to me in the darkness of day and shined His own light in my heart. We love to hear about the God-man, don't we? We love to hear about how God left His glory in heaven and became a man. And how He walked this earth perfectly. Never a sin in His mind, never a sin in His actions, never a sin in His thoughts. We love to hear about the God-man, Christ Jesus. We love to hear about the sacrifice, don't we? What a wonderful sacrifice that God Himself provided. He provided Himself a sacrifice for our sins. He became sin for us, that we might be made righteous in Him. That's wonderful news to me, because I see myself totally different. I see exactly what I am in my heart. I really thank God that you guys can't. Oh, how we need a sacrifice. We love to see the sacrifice, Christ Jesus, don't we? We love to see the priest, the one who stands in heaven making intercession for us. Even when we've messed up, he turns to the Father and says, "Nah, that one's mine. I paid for him. His sins are paid. You see my blood." We love to see the priest, Christ Jesus. We love to see the King. Even when it looks like everything is out of control, like it does right now. What about not just what we see around the world? You ever felt like you were out of control?
Yes. Yes, sir. Where you
are. I'm going to share something with you. It's been several years back, but it was after the Lord called me out of darkness. I was driving down the freeway in my car, and this guy just flat out cut me off. And I'm a professional truck driver, so I shouldn't do this. But before I knew it, I was screaming. Kathy was sitting in the car next to me thinking, "Where in the world did that guy come from?" I lost control of myself. I remember a brother in Christ telling me about how he lost control of himself because of some kids that cut him off in Reading. He almost went to jail for it. What do they call that? Anger?
Road rage.
Yeah, road rage. They almost sent him to jail for it. We can lose control of ourselves so quickly.
Yes, sir.
Yet our King, our God, Christ Jesus, never loses control at all. everything, right down to the minutest little detail. One of the greatest things I remember hearing in Brother Steve's Bible studies is he would bring in the Old Testament the details that God put in there for us to see the building of the temple. I mean, right down, just down to the very little teeny detail. God himself took time for every little detail. He does the same thing for you and I. We love to hear about our King, Christ Jesus, who is our manna. He is our bread of life. A true child of God will not be satisfied with another gospel and a lie. The truth will set us free. We cannot hear another. Yet this man took his family and he left the house of God. He went to a land where the world and the things thereof were more of more importance. He went to the land where men worshiped the works of their own hands. Idols. Carving a little idol and then bending down and worshiping it. Something you have made of your own. Like I said, I don't know a lot about this man, but I do know two things. I know that in Romans chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." I also know that in 1 John 2:19 it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." When God first gave me ears to hear, I began looking for a church that was a little closer to home. Some of you may have heard this before. And I would mention to a brother of mine, a very dear friend, "Let's go here or let's go there." And he would say this to me, "My thirst is quenched. My belly is full. I hear the gospel preached in rescue. Why would I go anywhere else?" I found no other place that could fill my hunger. I found no other place that could quench my thirst. In fact, everywhere I went, I heard all about the things of men. Now, I'm not trying to say that Christ is preached here in Rescue alone, for I know it's preached over in Marysville. I know for a fact, because I've sat under the preaching of a preacher in Kentucky. I know another one in Tennessee. I know another one down there in Texas. I know one up in Oregon. So I know the gospel is preached in more than just this place. But I never found anything down there in Sacramento. Now, I'm not talking about moving away that because you have to, whether it be for work or for family reasons. We're talking here about leaving the house of worship. We're talking about where God is worshipped in truth and in spirit. There is only one gospel. There is grace, grace, and more grace. Grace can only be found in one, and that one is Christ Jesus the King, the Christ of Scriptures. Again, at our Friday night study, we were talking about the places that we had visited when our gospel was not preached, where the gospel was not preached, and how we, you might say, survived the ordeal and couldn't wait to get out. Kathy and I once went for a weekend over to Fort Bragg. And we went into, I think it was a Presbyterian church that time, because I've learned not to go to Baptist churches at all. But even there, once they gave us the little flyer and it told all about how the church did this and the church did that again, we didn't see anything about Christ in there. We got up and started to walk out. They followed us all the way out to our car and was tapping on the window. "Hey, where are you going? How come you're not going to stay here and worship with us?" "Well, we don't believe in the same God you do." "What?" That's what they said. There's many other ones that I've survived from that I could tell you about, but for the sake of time, we'll continue on. Folks, the house of God is a very small house indeed. This world is full of false religions. In Romans 9:27 it says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Romans 11:5, it says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We are blessed beyond anything that we can imagine. Our little brains, my little brain, doesn't even comprehend how blessed we are. Even though we see all the things around us, even though we see our own sin before us, we are so blessed. He who gave His only begotten Son, how shall He not give us all things? We are so blessed that the God of all creation should think. Consider that. The God of all creation should think upon us. Us, who sin against Him all the time. More than we can count. Yet He came to save sinners. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous. You don't need to turn there, but in Psalms 25, 15 through 18, it says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, who does not look upon our iniquities, because they have all been placed on His Son. Verse 2. And the name of the man, was Elimelech. See, I told you I got to look at that, or I'm going to mess it up. And the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Malchon and Chilion, Ephrathites. Boy, I wish I could pronounce these names as good as Steve did. And of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, names had meanings back then. We've already looked at the name Bethlehem. It means the house of bread. And so for the sake of the meanings of names, allow me to give these meanings to you. Elimelech means my God is king. So obviously, someone down the line of his, either his parents or somebody else, knew God and they named him after a name that would represent God. My God is king. Naomi, amiable, sweet, and pleasant. Mala, sickness, weakness. Interesting, huh? Chilion, consumption. I found the meaning of their names to be very interesting as we see the paths that our Lord directs them in. You notice I didn't say the paths that they took, because our God does direct us in all things. All the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads everything. Because He is King of everything. And speaking of the meanings, the people of Moab are direct descendants of the incest between Lot and one of his daughters. The word Moab actually is a reference to incest. So let's continue now in verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now we see in verse 3, the day of death comes to Elimelech, leaving Naomi to depend on her two sons. And they dwelt there about 10 years. They continued in the house of the world, full of idolatry, full of the things that attract the flesh, the very same things that used to attract us and still do in the form of temptations. But for the grace of God, there go I. Oh, how I see that more and more now as things go along. But for the grace of God, I'd still be probably laying in bed nursing a hangover right now. But for the grace of God, I might even be in one of those churches of the goats. Yeah. Their father, Elimelech, who claimed to be a child of God, must not have taught them in the ways of their people. Or his example was less than to be desired of one of God's children. Or maybe they did ignore their father and their mother's teaching and reasoned to be better to do things their own way. Look at verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Now it was a very strict law for the Jews not to marry outside of the faith. Mahlon and Chilion took wives from the women of Moab. Pastor Fortner writes this, the opening line of verse 4 might be accurately paraphrased, they transgressed the decree of the word of the Lord in taking strange wives. What they did was a direct violation of God's law. He expressly forbade mixed marriages between the children of Israel and the heathen, just as he forbids today the mixed marriages of believers and unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked.
Amen.
Yet their father must be blamed, for he taught them by example the way of disobedience. We who raise our children in the lap of the world should not be surprised to see them married to the world. Those who disregard the word of God, particularly in this matter of marrying an unbeliever, they court disaster. Those believers who choose to marry a man or a woman who has no regard for God marry a life of trouble. When the Lord first called me out of darkness, I can tell you this. I spent 5 years with the understanding that the Lord gave me, living with a woman who had no understanding at all. When we were on a trip one time in Canada, there, I was looking at the ice fields, as they call them. And what it is, it's these cliffs straight up and down, maybe 200 feet. And then another 100 feet of ice, blue ice, just absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous. If you've ever stood at the base of that big rock over here in Yosemite,
El Capitan,
exactly, and you just stand there and you look at, oh wow, that's the way this was. And I said to myself, actually I said it out loud, look what God made. And Kathy actually turned to me, she said, really, are you going to take me there today? Are you going to go there this time? And then a couple of years later, the Lord called her out of darkness, and life has been, well, life's been good since. If the Lord brought me to a position of being single and took my wife home, I can tell you this, I would not go out into the world to look for another. In fact, I've been laughed at for this, but I would send letters out to all the pastors of all the churches that I know preach the gospel. Look in the right places. Wouldn't be looking for love in the wrong places, that's for sure. I think there's a country song about that. Verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of their of her and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Elimelech took his family and left the house of God for the house of sin. Yet even in sin, God's providence is accomplished. Remember, our God is king over everything. Even the devil has to get permission from our Lord before he's allowed to do anything. He is Lord of lords, Lord over everything. In the book Discovering Christ in Ruth, our brother, Pastor Don Fortner, titles an article, The Gracious Overruling Providence of God. And he writes, Elimelech did wrong, yes. His family suffered for it. But God's will was done perfectly. For the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, must be born out of a union of a Moabitess woman and the son of Rahab. Interesting. A Moabitess woman comes from a land where incest started it. And a son who came from a harlot. Does God not love sinners? Sinners saved by grace. That's so awesome. And so it came to pass that the famine was sent by God because he chose Ruth. Elimelech was allowed to do the evil he did because God was determined to save Ruth. All this came to pass because God purposed to save his elect by the incarnation of his son, by the life and death of his son, who was the son of Boaz and Ruth. Amen. And if you don't believe that, then go read it in Romans 8, 28 through 32. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in Jesus, especially in this world that we walk through today, knowing that all things are for our good, knowing that he who gave his only begotten Son, how shall he not give us all things? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. Oh God, pound that into my mind. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Seek ye the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.